The literature is littered with nonsense about impossibility of various spaceflight goals, including getting to the stars. Even a Nobel Prize-winning physicist from Harvard did one of the silliest papers I've ever seen about this subject. If you make enough stupid assumptions, you can prove anything is impossible. But is that the way science is supposed to operate? Now, dear Dr. Campbell, the guy who proved, you know, a million tons, he assumed a single-stage rocket. He assumed a limit of 1G acceleration. He assumed you had to provide all the energy. He assumed too low an exhaust velocity. He assumed that when you came back, you got to fire a retro rocket. And, of course, every pound of propellant you use at the end had to be launched from the Earth at the beginning, slowed down at the Moon, launched from the Moon, and most of it slowed down back here. And it's at least a 10-to-1 ratio at each step of the way. So, of course, he came up with the wrong results, but nobody in his right mind would do it that way. The engineers figure out how to do things, the ancient academics, many ways that you won't be able to do things. You pick your choice about what you want to hear about. Trips, there's another part of this, of course. Before you can say whether you can or can't get to the stars, you have to say, well, where are you going, Joe? Well, you'll often hear, look how much energy it would take to go across the galaxy. And all I can say is, who cares? Why would you worry about going across the galaxy? If my family needs a quart of milk in Fredericton, New Brunswick, am I going to say, oh, I guess you're going to have to starve people because I can't get to Sydney, Australia back in time for dinner? Why not walk down the street to the store? It's 5 minutes. Why worry about going across the galaxy? Worry about the local neighborhood. What does he mean by that silly comment? Local neighborhood? Hey, within 54 light years of here, there are 1,000 stars. Of those 1,000 stars, 46 are similar to the Sun and might be expected to have planets and life. 54 light years. The galaxy is 80,000 light years across. The next big galaxy over is 1,000,000 light years away. I'm worried about a place 37 light years away, and I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But trips to nearby stars are feasible with round trip times shorter than the average person's lifespan using staged fission nuclear rockets or fusion nuclear rockets, on both of which I have worked. This little baby was tested, its big brother, the Phoebus 2B, was tested 29 years ago. It's this big, at a power level of 4,400 megawatts, twice the power of the old Grand Coulee Dam. This big. That's nuclear fission. I worked on the development of nuclear fusion rockets back in the early 60s. We only spent money, we didn't build hardware. Not a lot of money. And if you use the right stuff in the right way, you can kick particles out the back end of a rocket. A fusion rocket. Fusion is what goes on in the Sun. It's the most important source of energy in all our lives. You can kick particles out the back end that only have 10 million times as much energy per particle as they can get in a dumb old chemical rocket. 10 million. On a miles per gallon basis, fusion is definitely the way to go. Now, I better tell you, I don't think aliens use fission or fusion because Friedman's Law was passed by the universe some time back. Namely, that technological progress comes from doing things differently in an unpredictable way. The future is not an extrapolation of the past. You have to change how you do things. That nuclear rocket isn't just a better chemical rocket. This little old laser pointer, that's not just a better light bulb. The micro-integrated circuits that make today's computers feasible are not just small vacuum tubes. Everybody know what a vacuum tube is? My goodness, a lot of young people that don't, I suppose. But you get the point. If somebody got started a little bit before we did, they're going to know some things we don't know. There's no surprise there, is there? I mean, look back 100 years. But there are stars out there 5 billion years older than the Sun. Stars in a local neighborhood 1 billion years older than the Sun. I don't care how conservative you are, let's assume they're only 1,000 years ahead of us. They're going to know some things we don't know. We are technologically retarded on a cosmic scale. Sociologically, I don't need to tell you. Well, we're a primitive society whose major activity is tribal warfare. That's a fair description of this planet, I think. Just to prove to you that there's one in operation. You don't want to be near when they're running. Believe me, you don't. Get cooked in a hurry. I hate to tell you where the test was done, but I will. It's Jackass Flats, Nevada. Make of that what you will. Now, never mind the sausage. You see the guys who were driving? As a nuclear physicist, believe in little green men. Well, they're usually not green. They often are little, whether they're men or women or both or neither. I really don't know, but the evidence is overwhelming that responsible, respectable earthlings, people whose testimony you'd like on your side in a court of law, have indeed on many an occasion observed not only saucers on or near the ground, but saucers accompanied by beings. The Humanoid Study Group of the Mutual UFO Network has collected more than 3,500 such cases. Ted Phillips in Missouri, for those who say there is no physical evidence, it's all anecdotal. What baloney that is. These debunkers ought to open up a delicatessen. They're serving baloney all the time. Ted Phillips in Missouri has collected more than 5,000 physical trace cases from at least 65 countries, cases where the saucer is seen on or near the ground. And after it leaves, one finds equivalent of burn circles, burn rings, landing gear marks, swirled vegetation. I don't mean crop circles. I mean where there's a definite association. There's the saucer. It's left. Look at this area. That won't grow anything. That sort of thing. Over 5,000 such cases, 23% involve reports of beings associated with the craft. If you take the outstanding abduction researchers, say take the top dozen, there's well over 1,000 abduction cases that have been rather well investigated. I am not saying everybody who claims to have been abducted has been. That's not the point. The question is whether any have been, and the answer is a very firm yes. So, anecdotal? I don't think dirt, maybe dirt, in a gossip column, I guess dirt is anecdotal, but here's a typical physical trace case. The ring is dry. Ronnie Johnson, age 15 or 16, was finishing his chores for the evening in Delphos, Kansas, getting ready to go in for dinner, spots a mushroom-shaped object sitting just over the ground, brilliantly lit, so bright that he's temporarily blinded. You heard about that from Mr. Sparks earlier. Finally, it leaves, just clearing the shadow you see here. He had been paralyzed. Now he can move. He dashes the 250 feet into the house, yells at his folks that he's just seen a flying saucer. Naturally, they laugh at him. Naturally, he gets angry. You don't need to believe me. Go out and see it for yourself. And they do go out and they do see it. Then he convinces them to come back to see where it had landed. This they don't believe at all, but they go back there. And by this time it's dark, except the ring is glowing. Bottom of the tree is glowing, the board is glowing. Mother reaches down, touches the glowing ring of soil. Her fingers go numb. Can't take pulses at the rest home where she works part-time as a nurse for the next couple of weeks. This scares them a little bit. They call the sheriff. He comes out, checks for radioactivity. That's what people seem to worry about. I'm a nuclear guy. That's probably the last thing I'd worry about here, but there is none, incidentally. An article appears in a local paper. Somebody sends Ted Phillips, the Missourian, this is Kansas, copy of the article. He calls the sheriff. Yeah, the Johnsons are respectable. Ted goes out there, takes a bunch of samples. The ring is dry. There's mud inside and outside, as it was when I was there, mud inside, outside. Down 14 inches, the ring is different in color and texture. Pours water on it, runs right off, runs tests. Ring soil won't grow anything. That's ring soil on the left, normal soil on the right. Moisture absorption. Here's a fascinating picture. That's water on the ring soil. Not plastic, not glue, water. The ring soil won't absorb any moisture. Ted sent me samples of the soil. I had good lab tests on the ring soil on the left. There's a higher level of soluble minerals and is much drier. It's too salty to grow anything, if you want to put it that way. This is one direction for ufological research, something to get your mitts on.